I just want to spend a few minutes for trying to sort of unpack some of the things. What does it mean to be back at church? What does it mean that's important to know that God is now here? I don't know whether you're always interested, but we have somebody comes to Toddlers who performs at the Edinburgh Festival. And I was talking to him before he went up. And so I was interested to read on the BBC website afterwards the top jokes from the Edinburgh Festival. I always find them quite funny, the one-liners. And the top one this year, I'm sure you're all interested to know, is by someone called Dave. What's his surname? Can't find his surname. It's on here somewhere. But anyway, his name's Dave. And this was his joke that came as the most popular joke of the Edinburgh Festival. And he said, working at the job centre has to be a tense job, knowing that if you get fired, you still have to come in the next day. Which I thought was quite funny. There was a few others that were on the top 10 list. Someone called Leo had this joke. I had a job drilling holes for water. It was well boring. In my last relationship, I hated being treated like a piece of meat. She was a vegan and refused to touch me. What do colourblind people do when they're told to eat their greens? Was another one. Doctor Who fans out there would like this one. I lost a friend after we had an argument about the TARDIS. I thought it was a little thing, but it seemed much bigger once we got into it. And this is the one that I just want us to think about this morning. Will link us into what we're going to think about this morning. Trump said he'd build a wall, but he hasn't even picked up a brick. He's just another middle-aged man failing on a DIY project. And I just want to think this morning a little bit, what do you do when life begins to fail or fall apart? What do you do when your life needs a DIY project? Because we all struggle and fail with our DIY projects, particularly when it's on us, when it literally is do it yourself. Because often in our life there are times when our life begins to seem to fall apart, where there are difficulties, where there are struggles, and it's almost as if the walls of our lives begin to break and collapse. And that means that our life isn't as sorted as once we thought. And then we suddenly realise not only is it not sorted, but things come in with the walls broken down. Life comes, problems come, troubles come, issues come. And they seem to really, we feel unprotected. We don't know how to deal with it. I don't know whether that's you this morning, and if it's not, that's great. If it is you, I've got some words to say to you. If it's not you, when those walls do begin to crumble, maybe you'll remember what I have said this morning. There is a book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is literally about a book about somebody called Nehemiah who found the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And he got really upset about hearing that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. He did not know what he, as an individual, could do about it. It seemed a huge problem that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. The enemies would keep coming in and disrupting everything they were trying to do. When they were trying to do something good, it would be disrupted. And they were the joke of the nations. That the people were allowed to return to Jerusalem, but hey, they haven't even got a city wall. And Nehemiah got upset. We read that he mourned over this. And sometimes when our walls of our lives break down, we shed tears. We mourn. Because we don't know what to do. What can we do about it? A lot of the things are outside our control, outside our ability to control. What do we do? And we mourn. But the second thing we read in this book of Nehemiah, in the first chapter, he says he sat down and wept. For some days I mourned. But then he did something else. And that's the something else that I want us to think about very briefly this morning, if our walls seem to be falling down. We read, he mourned and then prayed before the God of heaven. And can I suggest this morning, if God is now here, that if our walls seem to be falling down or tumbling, as the psalmist we read at the beginning of the service said, what do we do? The call is to follow Nehemiah, who literal walls are falling down, to help us understand what we should do when the walls of our lives fall down, is we should pray. Now that may be something unusual to you, it may be an alien concept to you, but they tell me that, what percentage of people do you think pray every week? Anyone got an idea? Anyone throw something out there? 50%! Anyone else? Seven, not bad. They tell me, I don't know how they work it out, it is 75% of people in the UK pray once a week. So perhaps it's not such an alien concept as we think, that people do pray. And perhaps when life is falling apart, people are tempted or think to pray. But I want to go on to think this morning to say, if 75% of people pray, how should we pray? What prayers are effective? What are the things we should do in our prayers? And I just want to read this prayer from Nehemiah that he prayed about his broken wall that perhaps could help us, encourage us to think about how we can pray when our walls fall apart. Let me read it to you. He prayed. And it's found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people were at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king of Persia. I was cupbearer to the king. I just want to look at that in a minute. Before we do that, I just want to think about prayer and perhaps answer prayer. I want you to see this short video clip. And it's based on, I don't know whether you remember a number of years back when there were miners in Chile that got trapped for months underground. Just watch this testimony. I'm sorry, it's in Spanish, so if you're not Spanish, you'll have to be able to read the subtitles. I hope you'll be able to see it. But it's an interesting story to help us think about prayer. Is that all right, David?
Tenía trabajo al tiro inmediatamente, así que me llevé el equipo al taller y ahí hice mi trabajo y luego me fui al refugio. Entonces yo estaba, cuando esto ocurrió, esta explosión, sobre nuestras cabezas cerca de las 2 de la tarde, y nos deja tapados por 4 horas, con tierra, con polvo, y de ahí luego discurrimos poder salir de ese lugar, alguna manera de escapar, y realmente nos dimos cuenta que no había escapatoria de ese lugar. Dijimos, la única posibilidad se llama Dios, se llama Cristo, así que vamos a tener que orar aquí. Así que se hace esta reunión y se reparten tareas. Y bueno, dentro de esas tareas, bueno, aparte también de ver cuántos alimentos teníamos, prácticamente no teníamos alimentos más de 2 o 3 días como porciones normales. Pero entre todas esas tareas, a mí me dicen, bueno, sabemos que usted es cristiano, queremos que usted nos guíe en la oración. La primera oración fue más o menos así. Le dijimos, Señor, no somos los mejores hombres. Señor, ten misericordia de nosotros. Mira a los jóvenes, mira a nuestra familia. Le presentamos toda nuestra situación al Señor. Así que nosotros acá no podemos hacer nada, solamente nos queda usted, porque no tenemos a otro que clamar, sino que sabemos que usted es el que escucha la oración. Empezaron a pasar los días y ya empezamos a tener una oración a las 12 del día. Y esto empezó a causar cambios en las personas, ánimo, en el ánimo, en la amistad, en la unidad. El Espíritu de Dios estaba ahí con nosotros. Yo no he visto hombres más humillados que los 33. Estuvimos haciendo ayunos de 24 horas, de 48 horas, 72 horas fue lo que más aguantamos para poder que estos alimentos nos duraran en esas porciones tan pequeñas, pero para nosotros era importante. Así que duramos hasta el día 16, se nos acaban los alimentos después nosotros. Cuando al día 17 el Señor permite que nos encuentren, así que ya nos empezamos a dar cuenta que había movimiento de maquinaria y que nos estaban tratando de buscar en diferentes lugares.
But after 17 days of praying, a miracle. A probe had found its human target. And then a simple note, proof they were all alive.
Estábamos ahí, bueno, orando todos los días, pidiéndole a Dios que Él los guiara y que realmente nos encontrara.
65 days after the collapse, and after 33 days of drilling, Igor's plan B reaches the miners.
Mencionar también que 22 de ellos aceptaron a Cristo. Eso es algo bastante importante, creo yo. Cuando estábamos por salir, ahí se producen... tuve que llamarlos a la oración, tuve que recordarles que y nadie me sale de aquí hasta que no le demos las gracias al Señor.
The last miner has lifted to the surface. This is the moment. This rescue has come to an end. An explosion of celebration and joy after more than 2 months trapped more than 2,000 feet underground. All 33 have been rescued.
You can't prove the existence of God by answers to prayer. But I've found that stuff happens when I pray. It can be easy to dismiss answers to prayer as coincidence. But as William Temple, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. I sometimes find it helpful to use a prayer diary or to write down my prayer.
Story of the power of prayer. And I love that thought. Things happen, but how do we know prayer works? We can't prove it, but when I pray, coincidences happen. What amazing prayer. The people, when they prayed, those miners prayed, they sensed God with them. Some gave their lives to follow Jesus. And they were rescued. God was with them. So I want to think of prayer. I'm sure none of us feel our literal walls are broken down. I'm sure none of us feel that we are underground, literally, but emotionally, physically, spiritually. We might feel we're in a pit. We might feel our walls are broken down or things are coming into our lives. So what should we do? We should pray. And can I suggest from this prayer that I read out, it's a bit of a complicated prayer, but I hope to help think through that prayer to what you've got in your news sheet. You should have a little teaspoon. And that teaspoon is there to remind you, and you can take home, to think, what is prayer and how do I pray? And we see that in this prayer of Nehemiah. And I think the next slide will have a picture of a little teaspoon on, because the three letters will hopefully help us think about three things about prayer that are very important. And can I suggest that this is actually how we begin to pray? But can I also suggest you may be praying a long time, this is how we should continue to pray. So whether you're just coming to believe in God and want to try praying, this will help you. If you've been praying for years, this will help you. And we'll see that it's biblical, because it's based on most of the prayers of the Bible, but I want to use this prayer of Nehemiah to show you how. The first T is where we begin with prayer by saying thank you. By saying thank you. And part of saying thank you to God is actually recognizing His presence. Recognizing that God is now here, because you thank someone that you believe in. You thank someone who you think has done something for you or can do something for you. Nehemiah began his prayer, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him." We thank God by recognizing that the one we come to is the one who has given us life, the one who's created our world, the awesome God who has made all the world and the universe that we live in and exist in. And the Bible says that within that, He's made humanity special. He's crowned us as His creation. He's given us, we're made in the image of God. There is something we need to thank God for life. And the gift of life. Einstein once said that you can live life two ways. One, believing nothing is a miracle, and the other is to believe everything is a miracle. If nothing is a miracle, we are here by random chance and process. We've just evolved. We're just the top of the animals. There's no purpose. There's no predictability. It is just nothing. But if life is a miracle, as Einstein believed, and we believe in a God who created us wonderfully complex and amazing, who created our beautiful world, who gave us purpose and meaning in life. To help us understand love, to help us live this life in relationship, and who ultimately created our lives so that we would know God. And so we come to say thank you. But also we come to thank God that He is this awesome God. But also the amazing thing, which I can never get my head around, is that this awesome God who created everything, what do we read? Who keeps His covenant of love. What did the psalmist say that I read? You may not have recognized two things I know of God. One, that you're all powerful. And two, that you're all loving. God is a God who created everything, but a God is a God of love who loves you. Who's interested in you and wants a relationship with you. And we begin our prayers by thanking God for life, for what He's given us, but most of all, that He has loved us. He has loved us. And how do we know that? Nehemiah does that. Say it's been revealed through his servant Moses, revealed through the instructions he's given. He's revealed himself through the Bible. And that's how we know God is almighty and powerful, but also loving and caring and wants us to walk with Him and know Him and love Him. How do we know that? I'm not making that up. It's not my bright idea. We have the Bible that reveals God, and ultimately the Bible reveals the person of Jesus, who is the ultimate revelation of who God is. We'll come on to that a bit later. But we begin by saying thank you. And I want you to begin to think, if you want to start praying, come with a thank you. Come recognizing God is the creator of all life and your life. God is all powerful. He is awesome. He is amazing. But probably what most of us find harder to believe is that God is all loving And he loves you. And he's interested in your life. And he cares for you. And he wants to know you. And he wants to be involved in your life. He wants to help. He wants to help you build those walls and get yourself out of the pit. That is our God. And we thank him for that. So we say, thank you. The second thing we come to recognise is the S, which is we need to say sorry. We see in this prayer, Nehemiah, he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. The second part of prayer is not to thank God that he's able and loving, but is to say sorry that we have not kept our relationship. We have not wanted him in our lives. We have not wanted to involve him. We wanted to live our lives independently of God. We pushed him away. And that began from the very beginning, and Genesis tells a story about the whole of humanity turned away from God and pushed God out of their lives. And ever since then, we've all been following that same path. And that means we make mistakes, we mess up, we do things that aren't pleasing to God. And we come to say sorry. And that's part of our Christian tradition and prayer, that God is awesome and loving. But we've all messed up. We're not better than anyone else. As Christians, we're not saying we've got it sorted and you haven't. As Christians, we're saying we've messed up. As Paul says, all have messed up. All have fallen short of God's standard. We're all in the same boat. The difference is someone who prays, the Christian who prays, comes and is honest and says, sorry. My whole life is in rebellion against you. I don't want you part of my life. I've ignored you. I've ignored your help. I've not followed what you wanted to. I haven't recognized you. I haven't worshipped you. And I'm sorry. And that's what Nehemiah turns his prayer to. But then, the great thing is the P. Because when we recognise a thank you, when we say sorry, there is the opportunity for a please. This is why it's so important that God is a God of love. Because actually, if God really knew me, even when I said sorry, how many times do your children do something and say sorry and you don't believe them because they know they're going to do it again? I think that's what God thinks when he sees me. But he still receives my sorry. He still forgives me and he's still prepared to grant me favour. He still allows me to ask favours. What does Nehemiah say? Grant your servant success. Grant him favour. Please. Help me. Help me get the walls of my life back together. Get me out of this pit. Be what I need. Please. That is prayer. Prayer is acknowledging who God is, that he is able. He's given us life. He's created us perfectly. And he loves us. But it's recognised we've ignored him. We've gone away and we need to say sorry. But the good news is that when we say sorry, we can come and we can ask him. And he can become with us. And he can help us. And he can be present to us. That's the way we pray. That's the way we pray. And that's my encouragement to you. If you want to pray, thank God. Say sorry. And then with your broken down walls, with your mess, say please. Now, I'm not saying that the answers to your prayers may happen when you want or how you want. It is likely, from when we see in chapter 1 and the opening of chapter 2, that there's 4 months difference. So it's likely that Nehemiah either had to pray for 4 months or wait for 4 months for the prayer to be answered. And maybe it wasn't answered quite as he had helped and hoped, as we will see. But God granted him favour and blessing and help. And as we come, we need to come to thank him, to say sorry, and to say please. So why don't you start praying this term? As you begin this term with what may come, what it may bring, and I don't know what it's going to bring to you. But let's start this term in prayer. And that's why coming back to church is so important and making church part of your life so important. Because actually, if you're like me, you're fickle. If you're like me, you start things and give up. If you're like me, you know that God's here and you thank him and you say sorry and you say please. But then when the obstacles come, when the difficulty comes, when the opposition comes, when the distractions come, I forget. And I drift away. And I try and sort it myself, and I feel overwhelmed by it and distressed by it. But then I come back. Come back to the church of God where Christ is present. And I remember God is here. And I remember he does love me and he is powerful. And though I've messed up and say sorry, he still can hear me. That's why we encourage you to make coming back to church part of your weekly commitment. We also do other things to help you pray. We're about to form prayer triplets because we all find praying difficult. To find two other people like us who we can get on with and we can encourage one another to pray. And we're going to encourage people to form friendships that will say, well, we're going to actually, at least once a month, maybe or often, just encourage and pray. To remind each other that God is loving and God is powerful. To remind that though I messed up, I can say sorry, but also I can ask him for favour. But let me close. Because ultimately, if you know anything about the Bible, this is God's story. And God's story is all about one thing. I often tell the illustration of a boy who went to Sunday school. And one day his Sunday school teacher asked him, what's brown, got a long furry tail and climbs trees? And everyone put their hands up. And little Johnny, whatever his name was, going, miss, as they do. I know the answer to that. And she said, yes, Johnny. He goes, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. And actually the Bible is all about Jesus. And this book of Nehemiah that we're reading and looking over in the coming weeks is actually helps us about praying and about how we can build our lives. But actually this is a much bigger story. And this actually is telling us about Jesus. And actually we see in all the characters of the Old Testament something that points us and shows us something about Jesus. And Nehemiah is showing us something about Jesus. Because Nehemiah at this stage was in the city of Persia. He was in a stronghold. He was in a citadel. He was in the land of luxury. Everything was fine with him. And yet when he heard the walls were broken down, he went to the king and he left. And he went to the ruins of Jerusalem. He went to the trouble and the hardship and the distraction of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. What does this tell us? This story is about you and me, about how we can build our walls, but more importantly, it's about Jesus, who left his glory in heaven, his security, where he was the Son of God, where he was ruling and reigning. And he left it because he saw the walls of earth in ruins. He saw all our lives broken down. He saw the enemy coming in. He saw our heartache. He saw our tears. He saw our brokenness. He saw the creation falling apart, whether that's the physical creation in the storms and the tragedies we're seeing this week, or whether it's the chaos of our lives and the brokenness of our relationships and the mess things we've messed up. Jesus left heaven to rebuild the walls. And that's God's story. And actually, when we pray, we are praying not on our own basis, but on the basis that Jesus came to restore the walls. There's a lovely verse which I think may come up in Ephesians 2:18, which it says, through him, that's Jesus, for through Jesus we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's God's story, that Jesus came in the brokenness of our world, in the brokenness of our lives. He left his glory because he loves us, to restore us, to fix us, so that we could have access to God. What does that mean? So we could pray and experience the Spirit of God in our lives today. That's the Christian message. And that's what we remind ourselves week by week. That this is God's story. And it is about us, but it's far bigger. It's far bigger than us. And that's why we pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our broken world, as we've seen this week with all the tragedies of all the hurricanes, with all the lives being damaged. We see it in the wars. We see it in Syria. This all breaks our heart because it breaks the heart of God. And Jesus came to come and put that right. And we're coming to give that message, to allow people to have access to God, to be helped, to be forgiven, and to have their lives restored, knowing that one day this whole world will be restored to its perfection, to the glory of God. So can I encourage you, as we think about coming back to church, that's why we come to church, because that's our story. And it's a story that encourages us to pray as we say thank you, sorry, and please. Let's pray together. And then we're going to do, as what we do, is we turn a lot of our prayers into songs, because they're emotional, they're our responses. And we're going to sing a few songs together as we recognise God's presence here among us. But let me pray. Lord Jesus, for some of us, we come for the first time to say thank you. We come to say thank you that you are God, that you are awesome, that you are creator, that you have given us life, and we thank you. But we also thank you that you are loving, and you love me, and you love us. Thank you that you love me in my messed up life, in my broken walls, in my pit, you loved me. And I come to say sorry for the way I've pushed you to the side of my life, to put you in the bit of the box that I can keep you in and hold you in and bring out every so often, rather than involve you in every part of my life. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry the choices I've made and the way I live my life doesn't please you and doesn't honour you. And the selfishness that I've turned it all in on me. I'm sorry. But I come and ask your forgiveness. I come and ask you to be part of my life. And I come and ask you to grant me favour. And the things that I'm struggling with in my life, where my walls are broken down in my life and myself, whether it's my job, whether it's my family, whether it's my money, whether it's my health, come, I say thank you and sorry. I come to have access to God, to know that he loves me and to grant me favour in my present situation. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a few songs, and then the children will come back, and then there'll be refreshments to serve. We hope you don't have to rush off. But I just want to encourage you to think of three things. The first is, you may have noticed, we have a wall of prayer on the back. And maybe at the end of the service, you may want to write a prayer on that wall. Prayer for yourself. Prayer for someone else. Prayer for something going on in the world at the moment. Because we believe God is the God who wants to restore broken walls. Restore situations. And we want you to put a prayer on there, and we will commit as a church, some of us, to praying for those things that are on that wall. And so if there's something in your life or your family, don't need to put the full details because God knows. But we'll pray for that. Pray for something of the world welcome to do that. If you want to be more specific, you would see in your new sheet there is a try praying card. And if you would value me or one of our church leaders to come and pray with you or about a specific thing, just write it on that try praying card and hand it to me or one of the other church leaders, and we'll make sure that's followed up. If you're still not sure about God, if he's here, the third thing I want to remind you of is we've got an Alpha course coming up, beginning on the 1st of October, which is a course designed for those who've got questions, those who've got doubts, for you to ask them, to actually begin to think, is it true that God is here and can be part of my life? And it's a very open discussion, very interactive, and we hope you'll be able to come along to that. But let's stand together as we thank God and worship God for his love to us. And as we do that, maybe you'll experience that God is here. He loves you and he wants to be part of your life.